Okay, so we are in the middle of Perek Vav, chapter 6 of Sefer Shoftim. If you missed one or two classes, it looks like we've zoomed ahead. Because the other prakim, last couple prakim go very fast. But basically, a quick summary of what's going on is that the Plishtim have captured the Aron, the Holy Ark, and they brought it to their towns, and it caused plagues amongst them, different sicknesses, namely hemorrhoids, as well as some eroding issue. And as a result, you know, they kind of passed it along to the next town, and it got even worse. And as they passed it on, it got worse and worse. And so finally they said, you know, maybe the Aron is the source of the problem here. Let's verify that, and let's see if we're gonna see if once we send it out, the plague goes away, then we'll know that that's the cause. And they arranged this in a very specific way, how they were going to send it back. So, if we pick up from Perek Vav, Pasuk Zion, let's go from. So, first of all, they decided that the best way to send back the Aron would be with, good morning. So, you can want to share? Perfect. Okay, you're used to sitting next to each other, so. Usually you hit each other your own sitter, but you are used to sitting next to each other.
Thank you.
So they decided they're going to send back the Aron, and with that they were going to send a gift to the Jewish people or to their God, and that was going to be golden hemorrhoids and golden mice. Not really sure what that would look like exactly, but we talked about why they would do such a thing. It seems like a very strange thing. We talked about, the Malbim talks about how sometimes, you know, normally to cure something, you need like an antidote that's sort of the opposite of it. But when something's Baskofas Hashem, when something's coming directly from Hashem, it's a miraculous thing. So then we find that the cure is sometimes with that item itself. For example, he says, when the Jews are in the Midbar, in the desert, and Hashem sends a plague of biting snakes, so the cure is a snake on a pole, that they look at the snake, and they'd be cured. So that is a miraculous cure with the item itself that caused the problem, comes about the cure. And that, says the Malbim, was the same thing here, where they sent the very item that was causing their issues, you know, if it was the Hashgachas Hashem, if it was coming from Hashem, so that could be a way in order that they could get a cure to their problem. Yeah, so that was one. Yeah, that is one understanding. That's like the Malbim is offering an alternative understanding. Yeah, why not? That's what the pasuk says. No, no, that's not what he says. That's not what he says. But it wasn't. The question is, what was the mechanism? Was it through their prayer, or was it through Hashem said, if you look at the snake, you'll be cured? That works too. So it doesn't say in the pasuk that they looked up to Shemayim. It doesn't say that. That's one explanation, and definitely a good one. But simple reading is, you look at the snake, you're cured. That's the Pashup Shat, Mr. Snapper.
Hashem says that looking is efficacious. Looking is efficacious.
Right, there you
That's
go. Yes.
Twice sit on my own card.
Okay. So these were the instructions. We're going to look at Pasuk Zion. V'atah now, k'chu v'asu agalocha d'shoechas, take a new wagon. These are the Plishtim, really the Plishtim priests telling their people, telling their generals what the best strategy would be for sending back the Aram. So they said, take a new wagon, Ushay Faros Alos, Asher Lo Allah Alehem Ol, and two cows who are nursing and who have not had a yoke upon them. Vasartim is a paros bagal, and you should attach the cows to the wagon. Vasivosem b'mehem me'acharehem ha'baisa, and take the children of these cows, the calves, and return them to the house. And what they were trying to set up here was, they were trying to stack all the odds against this wagon returning to the Jewish people. And if it would return, as we're going to read the next pasuk, then they would know that, you know, Hashem is guiding it and it was meant to be. So they took a brand new wood, brand new wagon, which is not working yet and won't ride so well. And they took pregnant calves who are weakened and who are not really interested in walking away from their children. And they took the children and they put them in a house in the other direction, opposite of where they wanted the cows to go. And then they said, now let's see, now let's see what's going to happen. And you should take the Aron, and you should put it in the wagon, and these golden vessels that they would be returning as a gift to, as an atonement to Hashem, these golden mites and hemorrhoids, you should put it in a box next to the Aron, and you should send it, and it will go. Uri Sem, and you should see, im derech tivulo yale beis tamis, if it will go by way of the border or straight, it won't go to the side. Hu asalanu esarag don azos, and we know that indeed it was the Aron that did all these bad things to us, that brought about these plagues. The imlo, and if not, if it doesn't just go straight, the Adanu kilo yado nagabanu, then we'll know that it wasn't his hand that touched us. Mikrehu hayalanu, and it just happened, Sam. It just happened to be that when we brought the Aron to us, we got all these plagues, and when we brought it to the next town, they got all the plagues, and when they brought it to the next town, they got all those plagues. These Plishtim are not willing to admit or to give in that it was the Aron that brought about the plagues until they see that this miracle happened, that the cows will walk with all odds against them straight and bring the Aron back to the Jewish people. Then they'll admit it. Yes. Yes. Because then they would go. Oh, you want them to go even past them? Could be. I don't know. I think if they knew they were in the other direction, it's just as good. I don't know. Not here. Okay. So what happened? Pasuk Yod. Vayasu ha'anoshim came, and the men did this. Vayikru shtei faros alos, and they took two nursing cows. Vayasrum bagala, and they bound them to the wagon. They attached them to the wagon. Vesineyem kolu v'abayis, and the children they held them in the house. And they placed the Aron on the wagon, the Asar gods, and the fox, the Achrei Azahav, and the golden mice, the Salmet Choreim, and the images, the golden images of the hemorrhoids. And this is going to be a very interesting pasuk, which we're going to discuss. Vayisharna ha'paros baderech, which literally means they went yashar. The cows went straight, and the cows went straight on the path. Al derech Beis Shemesh, on the way to Beis Shemesh, on the path to Beis Shemesh, the Mesiva Achas, in one road, one direction, Hochu, they went, Hogoch, they go, they went, and as they went, they were mooing, they were crying out. Most of the Farshim understand they were crying out because they still, you know, were sad that they couldn't be with their children, even though they were indeed walking away from them, but they were still...
Others were full, that's when they were crying out.
Could be, interesting. The Rosaru Yamin Usmo, and they did not stray neither right nor left. The Sarnei Flishtim Hochim Achareyim, and the generals of the Plishtim, the officers, were going after them, Ad Gibul Beis Shemesh, until the border of Beis Shemesh.
Does it seem Beis Shemesh today?
As far as I know, but I don't, I would assume, but I'm not sure. So, actually, I'm not sure about that, because I don't know if there's any, I think, you know, we took the when they renamed these towns, they took many of the biblical names. I don't know if they're in the exact same places. I don't know.
They think they are.
Okay.
Because, Shushan was from a town right next to Beis Shemesh. If you go to Beis Shemesh, they'll say, oh, here's Shemshon's town. And it's right, I mean, Beis Shemesh is a modern town, and it's expanded so much it's now incorporated.
The other town.
Right, the other town. But they think it's the same.
Okay. Fine. Why does it follow them? They want to make sure that, I mean, I think they want to see that they go all the way. Otherwise, you know, it hasn't passed the test yet. Well, they're apparently saying the test is to go all the way. They got to go all the way.
They want to see if the Israelites got the,
Right, we're going to see. We're going to see.
How would they know if the Israelites got the place?
We're going to see a little bit more about, you know. Okay, so Rashi has a very interesting comment here based on the Gemara. And Rashi says, Vayisharna, he says this word is androgynous. It's both a male and female word.
Androgynous.
Androgynous. That's the English word for androgynous. Okay, it's androgynous. So, Milamed, it teaches us, that also the children were singing shira, were singing a song. So first of all, Rashi is just assuming Vayisharna means, and they sing. Not just that they went straight, but that they sing, that the cows were singing. And he says, it teaches us that not only were the cows themselves singing, but the children in the houses were singing. Rashi...
You mean the cows pregnant?
Yes. Yeah, the calves that were placed in the that were placed in the house were also singing.
Translated not singing but lowing. Which is the sound that animals cows make. L-O-W.
But that may be for go. That may be for later in the process.
No, here, the section that you are referring to.
But this is the beginning of the process. The cows set out on the direct road.
Right.
So meaning, and then later it says go, that they moan. So, but we're taking the word Vayisharna.
Lowing as they went.
Yeah. So that, but that's for later in the process, which is
the art school translation.
For the word Haloch v'go. That's translating the word they went and they were go. They were mooing or crying out. The beginning of the pasuk, the beginning of the verse, says Vayisharna, which, according to simple pshat, means and they went straight, like the word yashar. Which Rashi says at the end of the pasuk, he says with pshuto. The simple understanding is Vayisharna lashon yashar derech, that they went straight. That's the pashut, the simple reading of the pasuk. But there's another reading. Vayisharna means from the word shira, and they sing. This is based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says. The Gemara says, "Vayisharna haparos baderech." My vayisharna haparos. What does this mean? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, Sha'amru Shira. That they were saying Shira. They were singing a song. Rav Zutra Bar Tovia Amar Rav, Sheyishru Pnehem Klapei Aron Gamer Shira. That he kind of understands and means both, that they, by Yisharna, they face straight towards the Aron, which I guess would refer to the children, because the mothers are pulling the Aron. I don't know, maybe they tried to turn their heads. And they said Shira. And then it gets into what was the Shira that they said, which we'll discuss momentarily. But where would such a drasha come from? So besides for that, so Vaisharna could mean and they sing. But so interestingly, right, Rashi has this interesting comment that it's an androgynous word. So why is that? So the Marsha and the Gemara explain that the Yud, Vaisharna, would be for masculine. If it was for feminine, cows are a feminine, it should have said, and paros, just as Vatisharna. So he says the Marsha, but the Nun at the end, he says, is Nekeva, is feminine. So he says, therefore, Chazal learned out that it's hinting to here, to this idea that it was referring not only to the female calves, but also to the males. And who were the males? The calves. And then female calves also, but the male calves that were put at home. And that they were all singing Shira, and they weren't pained, they weren't suffering as a result of separation and as a result of the children, the calves being left alone. He says you can't learn it. Once we accept that it's an androgynous word and it's referring to the children as well, to the calves, well, it can't mean that they went straight because they're in the house. They're not going anywhere. So that's why Chazal felt that it was proper to darshan to learn out over here that they were actually singing. And if it refers to the calves singing, so also the cows were singing as well.
There's another neat possible meaning which is given here in the article called Footnote, which says that, if I can just read it to you, natural phenomena and beasts, quote, sing praises to God by carrying out his will.
Okay, yeah, so we'll get to that, yeah. So what was the Shira that they were singing? So the Gemara gives a number of different opinions. So it says, one says that they were singing Az Yashir Moshe. Why would they sing that? So the Marsha explains that, right, Az Yashir, which we sing at the Yam, the Shira Tayam, in Az Yashir, we say, Shamu Ami Mir Gazun. The nations heard and they trembled. Chil achaz yoshve polashet. Trembling gripped the dwellers of polashet. What's polashet? Push them. So he says that's a remez, that's a hint to this event, where they were gripped with fear, I guess, when they saw this, and this would be the shira of the cows. The next opinion says that they sang the pasuk in Yeshaya, where it says, "V'amartim b'yomahu hodu l'Hashem kiru v'shmo." You know, praise to Hashem, we call out in His name. And at the end of the pasuk there, it says, "Hodiu v'amim alivosav," that it was told among the nations His action. And that, says the Marsha, is referring to a pasuk that we actually just didn't read just now, but we read it last week. So in Pasuk Vav, if you look back at Pasuk Vav, it says when the Pushtim are recommending the proper course of action, so they say, why will you harden your heart, like the Egyptians and Paro hardened their hearts? Hello, Kasher Hisalo Bohem, you know, Hashem, he took action against them, he played with them, different understandings of this word, Hisalel, Vaishalchum, Vayevechu, and he sent them out, and they went. So they kind of reference this idea that, first of all, they use the Shorash Hisalel, which is used in Parshat Bo, I think, by Hashem. Asher, what is the pasuk say? I don't remember the pasuk offhand, but that's the source that's used to describe how Hashem took action and kind of played with the Egyptians. And here they're saying also, you know, why should we let this go on? And Hashem's just going to play with us and toy with us. Let's just send the Aaron back. So in that pasuk in Tehillim, we say, Hodiyu ba'amim ali rosav. That same source, Ali Rose, that Hashem told the nations his actions through his actions, his great abilities. Another opinion says that there's different opinions here as to about three or four more as to what the Shira was. Now, the simple understanding is that these cows actually opened up their mouths and sang. Simple reading of the Gemara. What Mr. Rugman was referring to is actually the Maharal's comment on the Gemara. The Maharal learns that no, they didn't actually open up their mouths and sing Shira. Rather, says the Maharal, Lo sha yu omrim Shira b'chituch rushing the dibor. They didn't actually, there was nothing audible. They weren't enunciating any words. Rather, their actual walking in a straight path, doing this amazing miracle against all odds, and just, you know, you have these cows just going straight like this. That itself was the Shira. That itself was the praise of Hashem. Yeah.
So he's saying that was part of it, not that they were saying,
yeah. So I don't know, but he's learning that it wasn't the cow noises that were considered Shira. It was just their actions themselves were what was considered the Shira.
The birds, when they make their little noise, whenever they're tweeting,
okay, good. Okay, so there's a question that's asked here. The Ritva asks the question, which is that there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and it says that there were 10 things that were created being Ashmashos. 10 things that were created during the twilight time on Friday evening, and these were many things that make their appearance in the Torah, as you know, and are miracles. One of them is the aisle of the ram of Akedah Yitzchak, and the pit that Korach gets swallowed up in, and different things. And one of them is the mouth of the donkey of Bilam, right? That was put into creation. It wasn't a new creation at the time of Bilam. It was part of the original creation, right at the time of Ma'aseh Bereishis, during the 6 days of creation, during the twilight time, right at the end. So the Ritva asks, why don't they list among that the singing cows? If you're listing the talking donkey, so you should list the singing cows. So the Ritva answers that this is included in Pi Ha'asan. When it says that Hashem created the mouth of the donkey, so included in that is other animals. It didn't mean just that talking animal, but the ability of certain animals to talk were created at that moment. So the Ben Yoyada wants to offer a number of other another answers. One of them we'll save for a little bit. But the one that we're mentioning is what you were referring to just now, I think, that he says there was nothing new about the Shira that the cows were singing. This wasn't so different than any other animals. He says we have this concept of Perek Shira, I don't remember offhand where it comes from, either Shlomo HaMelech or Dovid HaMelech, but it took him into Hillam that we attribute to the different animals. Each animal has its Shira, each animal has its song that it sings. And he says the Arizal explains that the idea is that there's some kind of malach that's appointed over every animal. Right? We have a concept there's a malach over different nations. That there's a malach over every animal, and that animal, that malach sings the shira every day of the animal. And he says that's what happened here. That malach that was appointed over cows, he kind of stepped in and sang, and it looked like it was coming from the cows, but really it was coming from this malach. And so he says, so therefore this wasn't a special creation that needs to be mentioned at Maisa Bereishis. Shira, song, is a praise that all that animals sing daily to Hashem. And what was unique about this situation was that the malach, who was in charge of the shira of the cows, in this specific case, made it seem like it was actually coming from the cows, but it was actually coming from the malach. Okay. So, that is the story of the singing cows. Make sure there wasn't something else that I wanted to mention. Yeah. Okay. So what happened when the Aaron arrived? So we're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel. Ubei Shemesh kotzim kitzirchitim ba'inek. And in Beit Shemesh, they were harvesting the wheat harvest in the valley. Vayisu eseinayim, and they raised up their eyes. These are Jews now. And they raised up their eyes. Vayiru es ha'aron, and they saw the aron. Vayismichu liros, and they rejoiced at seeing the aron. Vehaagoa ba El Svei Yoshua Beis Hashimshi Batam Otam. And the wagon came as far as the field of Yehoshua, the house of, again, in Beis Shemesh, Batam Otam, and it stopped there, Bisham Evan Gidola. And there was a very large stone, Vayivaku Es Atei HaGala, and they chopped up the wood of the wagon, Vesaparos, and the calves, Halu Ola Hashem, they brought as a carbon to Hashem. Now the question is, who did this? Was this the Plishtim who did this, or was this the Jews who did this? It's very vague. It's hard to tell. I think many commentaries learn that it was the Jews of Beit Shemesh that did this. Others are bothered by a question, which is that there's a halacha that you can't use a animal that, I think, I may be saying this wrong, but I think the halacha is you can't use an animal that was raised by non-Jews as a carbon. Because, what? That's not it? Where do you... Yeah. Oh. Okay, right. So there is a concept of bringing an animal on behalf of a non-Jew. No, that wasn't... You're saying that belonged to them. That belonged to the Romans. Right, there's definitely a concept of non-Jews bringing carbonos. That's true. But maybe it's only an issue for a Jew to bring an animal for himself that belonged previously to a non-Jew. And the issue is that you don't know what they did with the animal, if it was involved in bestiality or different possible things, which would make it possible, which would make it forbidden to use as a carbon. And so there are those who learn that this is actually, either because of this question or because of other reasons, they learned that it was the Plishtim that did this. The Malbim is one of those who says that it was the Plishtim. Is this why? Earlier Right. The Malbim says for a different reason that it was the Pushtim who did it, because he says, because either he says that it was the Pushtim who instructed the Jews to do this, or gave them permission. But basically he says the Jews wouldn't have been able to do this without permission of the Pushtim. So either it was the Pushtim, or it was the Pushtim, you know, chopped up the wood and asked the Jews to bring it as a carbon, or told them that it was okay, or something like that, and it was just brought as a carbon. What rings true for you?
None of that appears true to life.
That what?
The police didn't do anything that appears true to life. They're enemies. That's right, they would have freaked out. If you had seen Plishkin on the horizon, what would you have done? You would have called out the militia and attacked them. You would have chased them off.
Okay, so let's see if anything happens. I don't think that there's any record of any battle that goes on here, nor of a exchange. I think there is a medrash that the Plishkin hid, and they watched what would happen.
They hid.
Yeah.
They hid. Why did they hid?
Yeah.
They hide.
Yeah. It would be for that reason.
So they're afraid of being attacked.
The Levim haridu es Aron Hashem, and the Levim came and they took down the Aron Hashem, the Ha'argaz Asher Ito, and the box that was with it, Asher Bo Chlezav, that had the golden vessels in it, by Yasimu Ela Eben Agadola, and they placed it on the large stone, which was mentioned before, that there was a large stone there. The Anche Beishemesh Helu Ogos, and now it says that the men of Beishemesh brought carbonos, brought Ogos, implying that it wasn't them before, but again, some commentaries learn it was them before. By Yizbuchu Zvachim by Yomahu Hashem, and they brought carbonos to Hashem on that day. Rachamisha Sarne Plishtim Ra'u, and the five officers the Plishtim saw, by Yashuvu Ekron by Yomahu, and they returned to Ekron on that day. What? Yeah, it says it earlier. Yeah, that there were five. Okay, let's keep going a little bit more. The Eilet Chorei Hazav Asher Hishivu Plishtim Asham L'Hashem, and those golden hemorrhoids that the Plishtim had brought as a gift to Hashem, Va'ashdod Echad, Va'aza Echad, Va'ashkong Echad, Va'gas Echad, Va'ekrong Echad. I think these are the places where they came from, mm-hmm. not where they went to, because these are Plishti cities, as far as I know. These are the different, they represented the five different Plishti cities or nations. Also, the five officers also were representing that. The Achrei Azav Misbar Kol, so that was the number, there were five golden hemorrhoids. However, the Achrei Azav Misbar Kol Arei Plishtim V'chameshes Hasdranim. However, the golden mice, there were many, many more mice than there were of the hemorrhoids. There were numbering all of the cities of Plishtim. Me'ir Mivsar, the Ad Kofer HaPrazi, from this Ir Mivsar, the fortified city, to the scattered villages, the ones that didn't have walls, the Ad Avil HaGedola, all the way until the great stone, Asher Inichu Aleha Eis Aron Hashem, this stone that they were at now, Ada Yom Hazeh, Yisei Yoshua Beis HaShimshi, which is still, this stone apparently at the time that Shmuel is writing the Sefer Shmuel is still there in the field of Yoshua in Beis Shemesh. So it sounds like there were more towns, you know, approaching this stone even. There were towns throughout the land of the Plishtim, and they all sent a gift of a gold mouse representing all of the different towns. I think this has to do with where the plagues were, where they struck. If I remember correctly, yes, I'm not sure why they decided to send more mice, but they sent more mice than they sent. They only sent five of the golden hemorrhoids, and they sent a mouse per town, many, many more than five, as a gift. Now, okay, yeah, so that's what I thought, but thank you. So they're right. So he's saying that the reason why they sent more mice was because there was more extensive suffering as a result of the rodent than of who suffered the internal sickness. Pasuk Yetesh. Vayach be'ante be'shemesh. And he struck, Hashem struck the men of be'shemesh. Ki ra'u ba'aron Hashem. Because they saw the aron of Hashem. Vayach ba'am shivimish. And he struck the nation 70 men. Chamishim alafish. 50,000 men. Vayis'ablu ha'am. And the nation mourned. Ki ika Hashem ba'am makah gedolah. Because Hashem had struck a great makah in the land, in the nation. So now the Jews get hit, get punished.
Why is that a problem?
Why is that a problem? That's the first question. What does it mean, ki ra'u ba'aron Hashem? That they looked at it, how do we understand that? So we'll talk about that momentarily. And how many people got killed? So it says, shivimish, to 70 men. And then it says, without a vav, it doesn't say, and 50,000 men. It says, 70 men, 50,000 men. Simple understanding is, the Malbim says, 50 men in Beit Shemesh. Sorry, 70 men in Beit Shemesh, and 50,000 throughout all the land of Israel. We'll see in a moment, the Gemara has a different interpretation of this pasuk. So what was it that they did wrong over here? What's that? Okay, interesting. So let's see what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, Mishum Zerau Vayach, because they saw the Aron, they got stricken, that's cause for punishment. So there's two opinions. Rabbi Abba of Rabbi Elazar. Chad Omar Kotrim U'mishtachavim Hayu. They were harvesting and bowing at the same time. What does that mean? So there's different opinions in the Mefarshim. Rashi says that what it means is they didn't stop working. The Rabatul Melachim was Svoda. They didn't take a break to honor the Aram. And he says the word Ra'u, but it comes from a different use of that word, Al Tiruni, which quotes the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, where it means to disgrace. Nevada. So he says, Rashi explains that the Gemara is saying that Kiro Ba'aron means they disgrace the Aron. How do they disgrace the Aron? Because here the great Aron of Hashem is coming, and they're in the middle of harvesting, and they don't even take a break to show proper respect to the Aron. They just, they kind of bowed while they were still harvesting. Right? a modern application of that is, the Torah is coming around. The Torah, so we stand up, we kiss it, we stop what we're doing. Even if in this shul they're always carrying Torahs from one room to another, and you're not necessarily davening even. You could be schmoozing, and there happens to be a Torah passing through. But the fact, the Torah is like the Aron. A person should stop, show respect, stop what we're doing, and give proper due respect to the Aron. The Marsha says a different idea, and it's based on a Medrash. The Medrash says that the Medrash implies that the Aron is actually not meant to be seen. It's not meant to be looked at, right? We keep it in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's not for the eyes of a mere anybody but the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Good question. Why was it brought out to battle? You can't look at it. So maybe those are specific, very specific times. At that time, it's okay. But otherwise, it's not to be looked at. So the Gemara talks about how once a year they would roll aside the parofes, so people could see, and they would see the kruvim embracing. But there was, maybe some exceptions to this, but in general, it seems you weren't supposed to look at it. So that's what the Medrash says. The Medrash says, the Maharsha quotes it, the Yalkut Shimoni, it says, when they saw the Aron, they should have taken their clothes and held it over their eyes and fallen on their faces until the Medrash makes sure to stress, this is the Aron, this is the closest representation of Hashem, or the closest thing to the vessel, holiest of vessels. They should have hid their faces until it was covered. Until what was covered? The Aron of the Melech Malchei HaMelachim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the King of Kings. But they didn't do that. Ela kisherou hayushokim zekufim. They bowed, sort of bent over. Umiraktim, and they were dancing. Umidabrim dvarim yisterim, and they spoke extra things. They were talking, inappropriately, unnecessarily, as this was happening. That's what the Medrash says. So the Maharsha says that's what it means that they saw the Aron. Our Gemara is referring to the same thing, that they saw it, and they didn't fall on their faces, they didn't cover their faces not to see it, right? They should have acted with fear and awe and covered their faces, and that was the problem over here. The Gemara gives one other shot in what they did wrong. The Gemara says that the problem was that they were what they were saying. I don't know how they fit this into the words of Kira'u, but the Gemara says that they were saying things that were inappropriate. They were saying that who got you angry that you let yourself be captured, and who appeased you that now you decided to come back? It was almost disrespectful. Who do you think you are, Aron, that you let yourself get captured and now you let yourself come back? The literal words that the Gemara says are Man Amriyach di Imarios Uman Asalach di Chais, which Rashi says means, who angered you that you got angry and you didn't save yourself from being captured? And now, who appeased you that you decided that you were appeased to come back? And that was the problem. Doesn't say how that fits into the words of the Pasuk. The end of the Pasuk said that that 70, right, it had this line, and the nation, and they were struck in the nation, 70 men, 50,000 men. So we said that the simple reading is that there were 70 men in Beit Shemesh that were struck and 50,000 throughout the land. That's what the Malbim says. However, it is missing a vav. It doesn't say and so the Gemara understands it differently. The Gemara says, again, two opinions. One says it was actually 70 men, but these were great people, and each one was valued at 50,000. And the other one says that it was actually 50,000, and each of the 50,000 was like the 70 of the Sanhedrin. But either way, what you see is that is the Gemara. You see a lesson in this Gemara that let's say you go with the pshat that it was 70 men, but each one was valued 50,000. That just shows you that how Hashem values each individual person. We don't necessarily realize what each person is capable of, what each person's potential is, each person is tremendously valuable to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here, where there were 70 men who were punished, but the Pasuk makes sure to point out, according to understanding the Gemara, that these 70 people were each valued like 50,000. Finish the parak. Last two psukim, Pasuk Chas. Vayomru anche beishemesh, miyucha lamod lishnei Hashem alokim HaKadosh hazeh. The man of Beis Shemesh said, who can stand before Hashem, the Holy God, Belmi Yale Me'olenu? Belmi Yale Me'olenu? I guess who's going to last, who's going to stand at the end. They sent messengers to the dwellers of Kiryas Yarim, and the message was, Hey Shivu, Pushtim is Aron Hashem. Pushtim have returned the Aron of Hashem. Redu, go down, Ha'u Asan Lechem, and bring it up to you. And that's where it's going to stay, as we'll see, for the next while, until the building of the Beis HaMikdash. The Aron is going to be brought to Kiryas Yarim, where it will stay for about 20 years.